You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, people? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. And it is actually Two Peas today. It's just me and a guest. And we are doing a special bonus episode. You guys know we are heavy into the bonus episodes. We just finished our 80s collection. We're literally right smack dab in the middle of our 90s collection. But this is a special edition that I'm not sure when it will be released. Probably sooner than later. But we have a little thing over on our Patreon site where patrons get to select a top five list for us to do. So not only do I have a patron of the show here, which is very exciting. Love this guy. He's been on before. But not only am I letting him pick the top five, he's going to contribute to the top five. And he's my guest today. Let's say hello to Dan from Netflix and Swill. Dan, what's up, brother?
Oh, hello.
Hey there.
This isn't the obvious thing that we've already done, actually.
The obvious thing we already did was one of our very, very first ones, which was Netflix original shows. And we're going to get back together and do Netflix original movies, I think, we talked about. I'd like to do that.
I mean, if you want to dive into a shallow pool, you can.
I think I want to do that at some point. Maybe we'll have to wait like 10 years so they can build up their arsenal a little bit. But
we'll definitely have to wait for a while.
But at some point. But what we're doing today, yeah. So Dan, you want to tell everyone, because you selected this top five as a patron, you get to pick a five list for us to do. So what did you choose?
I can't even remember how this came up. I think we were talking about wrestling at one point, and then we're just like, it was just like, hey, there's a top five for you. Top five professional wrestlers. So like typically WWE guys.
Yeah. So today we're doing top five pro wrestlers. Are we saying of all time? I guess in our opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and I have two completely different eras going on here, but yeah, these are my all time favorites.
Yeah. These are my five favorites as well. So we'll probably name it, you know, top five pro wrestlers of all time. So I got to be honest, Dan, I haven't watched wrestling actively in probably 12, 13 years. What about you? Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you still watching all the current stuff?
I'm intermittent. I keep up with like results and stuff. Like I watched WrestleMania I watched the road to WrestleMania, and then I finished up with WrestleMania. And that's like, it's pretty much when you should be watching, because that's like when the quote unquote most exciting stuff happens.
Yeah, there's some dudes that I follow that I don't want to spoil any lists in case they show up on your list, but that I know of them from popular culture and things like that that I really, really enjoy, but I've never really watched them in the ring, so to speak. So all of mine are like 80s, 90s. There's a couple that bled into the 2000s, but like I said, mid 2000s, like 2005 or 6 for me was when I stopped watching actively. So anything beyond like 2005 or 6, I didn't really have a connection to them. So I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a little different, but maybe we'll be able to kind of rep, you know, all the decades, because, you know, pro wrestling's been a thing, well, really since like the 50s. But but you know, as far as like television and that kind of thing, it started becoming prominent in the 80s, which are where a lot of mine started to show up. So yours might be a little more modern, but hey, whatever. So
yeah, definitely.
So it's going to be a short episode, guys, because it's just two here. I anticipated that maybe we would have crossover, but maybe not, being that we're kind of generationally a little bit different. But
I really didn't start watching until the 2000s.
Okay.
Basically, I like my first match that I watched was like Triple H versus Rikishi, who and like this is back in like the late 90s, and then I was like kind of hooked off of it.
Yeah.
And my dad was someone who just didn't want to, like, me and my brother to just start throwing each other in wrestling holds, so he banned us from watching it. But they had a TV in their room, and so any night he would go to band practice, which it would alternate. Like, he would either do Mondays or I think it was Thursdays at the time. Mm-hmm. We would watch wrestling. And so, like, I've watched parts of Raw. I got like parts of SmackDown. So I've had like both instances.
Well, I have some fun stories about wrestling too, man. Again, this goes back to possibly before you were even born, Dan. But in the 80s, my father was a big wrestling fan. He used to take me to see a lot of these wrestlers at really small venues because it was before like all the television deals and all the giant, you know, WrestleManias and all that stuff wasn't happening yet. So I used to go see these guys at venues like the Grady Cole Center in Charlotte, which is like basically a gymnasium, like a high school gymnasium that might seat 500 people. And, you know, you're like 10 feet away from these guys that ended up becoming mega superstars. But, you know, my dad would take me and my little sister to see that stuff. And it was just, I just remember just having such fond memories about being able to share that with my father. And then when we were growing up, when I was little, my sister and I actually built a kind of mock wrestling ring in the woods behind our house. You know, what are the barrels like that, you know, you put gasoline and shit like that in? We had some.
Oh, yeah, those drums.
Yeah, like the drums. We had some of those. So we got four of those and we literally like tied like what word I'm looking for. But they're like elastic cables, basically, that people use when they move and stuff. And we like made a wrestling ring. We had an old like bed mattress out there. And then, you know, in our bedroom, we would fight like, you know, stuff animals and pillows and shit like that. So
that reminds me of my friend who used to do fucking backyard wrestling. And the way they would do ropes is actually like they would run back against the ropes and they'd have people like kind of standing around. And then like once you saw them make a move towards the ropes, they would each like it would be two people and they'd hold out their arms. And like they'd kind of like give and like give them a shove back as like they were the ring ropes. It's hilarious. Like they would put two mattresses together and they'd have people's arms being the fucking ring ropes. Right. It's hilarious.
Right, right. Okay, you want to get into it, brother? So who wants to go first? You want to go first, give your number five, or you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure, I'll go first.
All right, go for it, man. What's your number five pro wrestler?
All right, well, this guy has now become the poster child for the ultimate underdog. This guy is like 5'9", maybe 180 pounds in real life. They bill him at like 200-something in order to, you know, because they do that. They make guys seem bigger than they are by billing them at different weights and stuff.
Sure,
but, yeah. This guy had his big WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania 30. I'm talking about Daniel Bryan here.
Daniel Bryan!
See, I don't know him. Is that bad?
Yeah. He's awesome.
Okay.
He's had a really weird career trajectory. He was known as one of the best wrestlers on the indie circuit, and then he came to WWE, and they were doing this thing called NXT, which evolved into something new, but it was basically like a reality TV show to like pick the next best like wrestler. And he was one of the first guys eliminated, but they signed him on anyway because, you know, people loved him, but like they kicked him off. I don't know. It was a weird thing. So he went from being, you know, kind of maligned to on the show. And then he got fired from WWE because there was a stable called The Nexus where he was a part of them, but he got fired because he was choking someone on live television with their tie, which looks awesome, but apparently they didn't want kids fucking doing that. Okay. So they were like, well, goodbye.
Okay.
They brought him back like several months later after the whole controversy died. And he went from being, you know, this kind of bland, nice guy to some jackass who was kind of an abusive boyfriend to someone who needed to take anger management to, you know, arguably the face of the company at the time.
Okay. Daniel.
He has a ridiculous fucking story. It's crazy.
Daniel Bryan. So when did he, when did he debut? Is he pretty recent, I guess, right?
Yeah, I want to say like 2010.
Oh, okay.
Is when he debuted in WWE.
Okay.
And recently he had like neck and brain issues that held him out for a little under 2 years, but he recently just came back and started wrestling again.
Okay. All right, well, cool, man. I got to look him up. Obviously, I will when I'm editing the show. But that's one I was afraid that maybe there'd be some I hadn't heard of because, like I said, 12, 13 years since I've really been involved with watching it regularly. So, all right. So, as I said, my top five is very kind of old school for the most part. There's a couple that bled into the 2000s, but for the most part, they're all 80s and even back to the 70s in some cases.
Right.
So, also, you'll notice on my list that all five of them are entertainers first, in my opinion. With that being said, I wouldn't want to run into any of them in a back alley, but
right.
But I was drawn to them for the soap opera aspect and for the entertainment when they were on the mic and when they were in feuds with other people. Most of them were a heel at one point or another, which I thought I was always kind of drawn to the heel because you love to hate them kind of thing.
Right.
So my number five is just an over the top character that rose to fame in the mid 80s. He ended up becoming the WWF champion in like a tournament with like 15 wrestlers, and I believe in 1988, which was the late 80s, were the height of his wrestling career. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about Randy Macho Man Savage.
The Macho Man Randy Savage is not a happy, unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. Outside interference here. Yeah. I'm living in a nightmare. But the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah. I am the cream. Yeah, let me say it to you. Let me say it out loud. The cream of the crop. I am the cream. I am the cream, yeah. The cream of the crop! I'm on my way. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
That's my number five.
Hey, solid.
You're familiar with him, obviously, right?
Yeah. I mean, Bonesaw is ready.
That's right. And he showed up in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man as Bonesaw. I don't know what year. I can't remember what year that was, but that was early 2000s.
I want to say 2000 or 2002.
But, you know, Macho Man, I mean, just like I said, just a character, man. I mean, he was just so entertaining and he was a heel for a while. He had Miss Elizabeth, his sidekick. It was like his, I guess, I don't know if she was portraying his wife or his girlfriend, but that was an interesting kind of dynamic back in the 80s. You know, he had feuds with like Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, which was also his manager at one point and another kind of outlandish personality. But he wore all these flashy clothes and kind of was a picture of the 80s in terms of his apparel. And he was just fun to watch, man. And I think all five of mine fall into that category. So the Macho Man is my number five. Going back to the 80s right away, brother. So let's take you around to your number four, Dan. What do you got?
This man and I had a very similar life path in that we are both from Pittsburgh. We both went to Clarion University. However, I was never on the wrestling team, and I never won the Olympic gold medal in the 1996 Olympic wrestling event with a broken freaking neck. I'm, of course, talking about Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I know that one. Yep, Kurt Angle.
This dude is a machine. He is infinitely entertaining. That dude could just wrestle your ass off. Like, even in like a professional wrestling kind of sense, he was always one of the top performances, that kind of sense. But he was also just entertaining as hell. His theme song is iconic, you know, the beats and then everyone saying "you suck" in between them, you know, it was perfect.
Right.
Kurt Angle is the perfect guy to have as a professional wrestler because of just how entertaining and how good in the ring he was.
Right, right. And he was at, like you said, he was that Olympic star too, which was cool for the patriotic kind of aspect. Because, you know, wrestling is a pretty patriotic sport. I mean, it's America, right? I mean, it's...
Don't get me started America and foreign shit.
I know, but pro wrestling, I would imagine, around the world is definitely associated with America, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So he kind of obviously embodied that. So good pick there, and it's one that I'm familiar with, so that's good. All right, so listen, I'm going to throw out one of the big, big, big names here pretty early, but I was not nearly as into him as millions of others were, but based on the impact that he provided, and even later when he became a heel in the early 2000s, which was probably my favorite, quote, version of his character. But I'm going to go with Hulk Hogan at number four. How do you feel? Okay. How do you feel about that, Danny?
Hulk Hogan makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, these are all guys I just don't have, like, the gravity towards. Like, they're all good. They're all good in their own kind of way, but they're all people I never really experienced.
Right, right.
Like, Hulk Hogan I got, like, when he came back to the WWE, but then, like, he left again. So, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it later in my list, too. But my favorite time of being a wrestling viewer was when NWO came onto the scene. I'm sure you're at least familiar with that, even if you may not have been into it at the time. But it was late 90s, early 2000s, and it was basically just like a super group, right? I mean, it was like mm-hmm. it was like your favorite musicians formed a band or whatever. And when Hulk Hogan turned at SummerSlam, my friend had gotten the pay-per-view event. And there was about 10 of us over there watching it. We all pitched in. We got the pay-per-view, and we didn't fucking see it coming. I mean, you know, Hulk Hogan is just a picture, like just the wrestling, like the best good guy there ever was, and just so wholesome. And when he turned and joined the NWO, I mean, it was just like, holy shit. I mean, wrestling didn't do that. Of course, you have social media now, so it's even harder to create or keep spoilers away from people. But we just didn't see it coming. I mean, it was just a shock. And it was,
yeah,
it was like, wow, the NWO can get to anybody. They got Hulk Hogan. I mean, you know, what are they going to do? They ended up getting Sting later, and just all these people that you thought were so good that would just never go against the grain. And they did. And Hulk Hogan was like the ultimate kind of turned heel. You know, you just didn't see it. You just didn't see it coming as a wrestling fan. So NWO was my favorite time from like for about like 3 or 4 years from the late '90s into the 2000s. And then frankly, after the NWO kind of died off is also when my kind of interest in wrestling kind of waned a little bit. They kind of went hand in hand. But yeah, Hulk Hogan, I mean, obviously iconic in wrestling and in all of sports. So he's my number four, which leads us over to number three. Dan, what you got, man?
Right, so this is the oldest wrestler on my list. This is a guy who's been active for a very, very long time, or who had been active for a very, very long time. But I didn't really see him until his return in 2003. It's Shawn Michaels.
Good one.
Athleticism by the former champion Shelly. No, Shawn, he didn't go. Shawn landing on his feet.
Shawn Michaels, you know, obviously had the neck issues and the back issues, and that held him out of wrestling for about 4 years. And I remember him returning against Triple H, and he had one of the worst attires you've ever seen from any wrestler ever during that match. But since that point, he went on to have just such great matches with a lot of great wrestlers. You know, he wrestled against Kurt Angle at a WrestleMania. He wrestled against The Undertaker at back-to-back WrestleMania in two back-to-back Match of the Year candidates.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a phenomenal wrestler up until he retired, and I know a lot of people wanted to come back and face a lot of these newer guys like the Daniel Bryans of the world, who are also extremely talented. But you know, even if he's done, he left a lasting impression on everybody with his in ring performances.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another one I'm familiar with, and he was on my list of honorable mentions. So great pick there, buddy. So let's see, man. We're my number three kind of goes with the theme. He was an entertainer. He didn't have a lot of the technical skills. He was kind of not good in terms of technicality with wrestling, but he was so entertaining. He embodied what we already said about America and pro wrestling's kind of parallel. He was very much the kind of picturesque of America and just a good old boy, if you will. But my number three is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As the king of the ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come, and when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWF champion, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Obviously, anything but humble. The fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
Yeah. No crossover there with you?
No. Stone Cold was a little too early for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I caught the tail end of him, and he was obviously entertaining, but like, I just don't have the. I'm not drawn towards him.
Just, you know, he was. Well, one other guy that I'm going to mention later, but the two of them were just the WWE for about 3 or 4 years. And everything kind of centered around these two characters. They themselves had a feud, then they had kind of a partnership, and you know, he carried the franchise along with this other guy for, like I said, 3 or 4 years, and he was just so entertaining. Sandy Man always, you know, the beer cans and throwing it down his throat and spraying the crowd with the beer. And like I said, he wasn't really a good wrestler. You know, the Stone Cold Stunner was a great finishing move that I still joke around with my son that I'm giving him the stunner. Right. We do it on the bed, kind of joking around. And, you know, Stone Cold is just iconic as well. And he was just such a good entertainer. And he was so fun to kind of listen to and watch that drama kind of play out when he had these different feuds with different people. So, you know, when I heard this list, there were a couple names that came to mind immediately. And Stone Cold was definitely one of them. So he's my number three.
Yeah.
Before your time, though, right? Is what you're saying.
Just a little bit before my time. Yeah.
All right, man. We're getting there. We're getting down here, brother. So we're at our number twos. What's your runner up here? Number two pro wrestler, Danny Boy.
This is probably arguably the most iconic guy from the more recent era. He is not John Cena, but he produced some of the greatest matches John Cena will ever have. This guy reinvigorated interest in a lot of people in talking about wrestling. It spawned wrestling communities when he went on to produce the promo known as the Pipe Bomb. I'm, of course, talking about CM Punk.
Mm-hmm. Another one I'm not super familiar. I mean, I know of him, but I'm not super familiar with his whole shtick. So go ahead and tell everyone why you love him.
So when he first debuted back in like 2006, he was debuting on the ECW brand, and ECW was kind of like a toned down version of what ECW used to be. He debuted, I think it was on like One Night Stand 2006 against Justin Credible, and he came in just saying, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. And as a kid in high school who didn't do any of that stuff, that kind of spoke to me. And then of course I went to college and, you know, went off to drink a lot after that. So, but I, you know, after college, I came back, you watch the Pipe Bomb and you see this dude just like shoot up meteorically into the stratosphere and win the WWE championship and go. He's just one of the greatest talkers to ever grace the WWE, you know, even in between the times I was watching him, he did this thing called the Straight Society where he basically accosted everybody for drinking, smoking, doing drugs. Like he would call people out of the stands and he would like throw their, like grab their beer out of the hands and throw it down on the ground and just start screaming at them. He's just so entertaining, and he could always put on a good match too. He wasn't the greatest in-ring technician, but he could always tell a very good story in the ring.
Yeah. I love that too, man. I mean, as you can see with my top five as well, I just love people that are able to transcend that kind of entertainment and wrestling. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with him in the ring. So I'm excited because yours is definitely a more modern list with the exception of Shawn Michaels so far. I'm not really super, super familiar with any of them. So I'm excited to kind of go back and see some of the more modern day names, if you will. But right. All right, man. So my number two is one that you're definitely going to know of. Just a pop culture phenomenon. Started obviously as a wrestler. Really started as a football player and then into wrestling. And now it's just literally you can't turn on a TV or go to the movie theater without seeing this guy. He is kind of the new, quote, Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you will, in cinema, in my opinion, just a great action star. But when he was around in the WWE, man, The Rock was my shit. I love The Rock. This was the last wrestler that I was into and that I was really connected with before I stopped watching it. I just love The Rock. I mean, just so energetic, so good at wrestling. He did have the technique, where a lot of my other guys kind of lacked it. But, you know, he had the technique. He was a great wrestler. And, I mean, how do you feel about The Rock? Are you in bed with him, so to speak, when it comes to wrestling? Or was that before your time also?
I caught the tail end of him. And basically, I caught, like, Hollywood Rock. So, just asshole walking around saying, I'm better than you because I'm in movies, Rock. And, he came back and he infamously won the WWE Championship from CM Punk, ending CM Punk's historic modern reign of his 434-day WWE Championship reign, which rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because pretty much after that, you could see that we were destined to have Rock versus John Cena 2 for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. That rubbed me the wrong way. And The Rock, he's in great shape now, but he was not in good wrestling shape. Like, you could tell he could just not put on like a 15-minute match like he used to be able to.
Yeah, I just remember having such... I was just drawn to him. You know, he was just such a good entertainer. And if you smell what The Rock is cooking and just, you know, just so charismatic, Which can be said for all five of my guys. And like I said, that's really in the prime of my viewing of about 15 years of really watching wrestling seriously. I was always drawn to the people that were more outlandish and that were more of a character. Not that I didn't appreciate a good wrestler as far as technique, but it just didn't make me want to see more of that person. And The Rock, along with my other five, I just couldn't wait for him to be on the mic or to be on camera. Forget about being in the ring. Just to hear him talk and kind of talk crap to whoever he's up against. And, you know, I just love it. When he hosts SNL, have you seen when he does the kind of spoof of himself where he's doing a wrestling promo? And you know, the thing is, they're supposed to talk crap to each other. So have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I might put it on the episode, but...
Action! I'm here with our main event competitors, Coco Watch Out and Treasure Mott. And there is no love lost between these two. Isn't that right, Mott?
No. Oh, you better watch out, because when the Mutt gets out of the trash yard, the first thing he's gonna do is take out this big old pile of stinking, rotten garbage.
And what do you have to say to that, Coco?
Let me tell you something about this guy. He has herpes. It's true. Oh, he's got herpes and he's got it bad. Well, you can't have sex with anyone without having a talk first, because of your herpes. I heard your doctor said it was the most herpes he'd ever seen.
Well, you heard it here first. Junkyard Mutt has herpes, and it gets settled this Sunday at WrestleMania.
And cut.
Hey, dude.
Hey.
So what'd you think, man? That's pretty good, right?
No, not really. Yeah, no, that stuff was kind of personal. Yeah, maybe just talk to me more about stuff you're gonna do to me in the ring.
Okay, yeah. Cool, I got it. Yeah, okay, cool, not
man.
A problem.
That's cool.
All right.
He'll have somebody playing a wrestler opposite him, like one of the SNL actors, and then he's the wrestler that's gonna be fighting him, and they're just doing like a promo, you know, that's gonna be showing the commercial or whatever.
Right.
And the guy will say something about how, you know, he's going to kick his ass and how he's a pretty boy and all this stuff. And then it'll be The Rock's turn to talk shit about him. And he'll just get right super personal. Like, he'll talk about how the guy's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And all this shit. And the guy's like, wait a second, man. Why are you doing that? So it's really funny, man. He's still a very charismatic guy. And I won't say all of his movies because some of them are pieces of shit, but. He has some great flicks, man. You know, The Rundown was a great movie, and I just love him. I just love him, man. He's a pop culture icon, and he really turned that wrestling thing into just a lifelong career, in my opinion. So
absolutely.
So that Rock is my number two, buddy, and I can't believe it. We're not even a half hour yet, and we're up to our number ones, man. So what's your number one pro wrestler, Dan?
This guy is not somebody anyone would probably expect, but his rise to popularity coincided with, how old was I at this point? I want to say 14, 15, 15-year-old me. And it's just weird. So I'll get to explaining it after I introduce Edge as my number one professional wrestler.
Okay. Another one I'm familiar with, but not intimately. So go ahead.
So before his rise as one of the top heels ever in WWE, in my opinion, Edge was just kind of like this guy who did like middling feuds with everybody. He was like a multi-time Intercontinental champion, multi-time tag team champion. I always liked him up until the point where he got massive. And it was after this much publicized real life story with Matt Hardy and Lita, where basically Matt Hardy was injured for a while and Lita was still like he and Lita were dating. So while Matt was injured, Lita was still touring and she got together with Edge and cheated on Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt comes back all furious and it begins this actual real life feud between the two, which results in Matt leaving the company for a spell until Matt comes back and they have this insane feud, a very personal feud, which you can just feel oozing out of the actual match. And like,
he's a human.
Well, I thought, and I said it earlier tonight, are you kidding me? That Edge would use it in WrestleMania. But Edge is cashing in, and cashing it in big time when John Cena is at his weakest.
No, baby.
Turn around, Johnny boy. Turn around. It's over.
Edge is just waiting on the WWE champ. It's waiting on him.
He hit the spear.
Edge hit the spear. Combo. Two.
No!
get him?
No, he didn't.
How in the world did John Cena kick out of that?
Was it a three or a two?
It was a two. It was a two, and Edge is in total disbelief.
Full credit to these guys putting their personal shit behind them in order to put on such a great storied match and be able to at least not murder each other in real life and on screen. Mm-hmm. But that feud shot Edge up into the stratosphere, and he became known as the Rated R Superstar. And after John Cena's title win at WrestleMania, John Cena had a WWE championship, and there was this thing called the Money in the Bank where you could cash in a title opportunity at any point in time. And John Cena was wrestling, I want to say, Umaga at the time, beat Umaga, and then Edge comes out after the match, cashes in on John Cena, and beats him. And he promised, after beating John Cena, that he would perform a live sex celebration with Lita on Monday Night Raw. Hence 15-year-old Dan being like, well, I gotta watch this. So you watch it, and it actually starts getting to the point where they got to start blacking out parts of the screen.
Okay.
Like, they are actually going at it.
Okay.
And then John Cena comes in and fucks it all up. And that actually is a big reason why I don't like John Cena as much, because he fucked that whole thing up. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't get to the actual sex part. But from there, Edge was just this ultimate opportunist kind of guy, this kind of asshole that was just so likable that I rooted for him all the way up through the end. He had to retire due to multiple neck injuries. And, you know, going back and watching his retirement speech, it was very emotional for me. Mm-hmm. I don't cry at that shit. I'm not a big baby like some people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was very sad watching Edge have to retire, because he is one of my favorites ever.
Well, that's cool, man. Do you tend to gravitate more towards the heel or the hero when you...
I tend to gravitate more towards the interesting person.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if I had to pick between those two, I would probably say I'm more heel. I'm more of a heel guy.
Right. That's because they give them more interesting things to do. But, like, you can have interesting baby faces. Like, Daniel Bryan is an interesting baby face because, you know, just, like, this whole arc of trying to finally stick it to the man and win a championship despite them.
Right, right.
That was all interesting. But more often than not, the heel is the most interesting person.
Right, right. I see that too. All right, man. Edge, you're number one. I didn't see that coming. I'm surprised that John Cena didn't make your list. He's on my honorable mentions, but
I used to like John Cena as a kid, and then as I got older, like, it really happened around the live sex celebration where I started not liking John Cena. And then recently, I've grown to appreciate John Cena more.
Yeah.
And he is an all-time great, but he just isn't on my list.
That's cool. Yeah, he's one of those that's kind of on that same path The Rock is on in terms of, like, pop culture and movies and stuff. So he's hilarious. I'll give you that. I mean, he's been on SNL before too, and he done a couple movies that I couldn't stop laughing at his character. He's pretty funny.
Right.
Okay, my number one is a throwback, brother. And as soon as you sent me this topic that you wanted to do this, I knew my number one, no questions asked. It is a personal pick, but I think he would probably show up on a lot of people's list, to be honest. Maybe 50-50 split between, like, people that have really covered wrestling since the 70s and 80s. It would probably be a 50-50 split between him and Hulk Hogan as far as the icon of wrestling. But my number one is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Get ready! Woo! We are on tour, and we're doing it better than anybody else alive. Now, Buddy Landell, it's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
Yeah, I saw enough of Ric Flair in my time.
Yeah. Now, you know, he stuck around way longer than he should have in terms of being in the ring. In fact, you mentioned Shawn Michaels earlier. His last official match that he fought was against Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And they were very, very close friends throughout their whole careers. And you talk about getting emotional. You know, it's being dubbed as Flair's last match, and you know, they just went at it. And the rumor has it that, you know, a lot of these things are choreographed and scripted, but these two guys were like, we just want to fight each other, and that's what they did for 30 minutes. And right. And at the end,
oh, it was not 30 minutes. It was like a that was like a 15 minute.
Was
match.
It? Was
that,
it?
That was definitely Flair's last match. Like you could, like it wasn't that Flair was doing poorly. Like there was definitely a story being told because up through that point, because this is my era, so I know this. But like I want to say from like the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, Vince McMahon was just like, all right, Rick, we really need you to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And Rick's like, there's no way. So Vince is like, all right, I'm going to keep putting you against guys you shouldn't beat. And as long as you keep winning, you can stay.
Right.
And that's when the whole story with Shawn Michaels being the retirement match happened.
Yeah, I'd heard that as well. And that's what I was alluding to. But anyway, at the end, you can tell Flair just can't go on. And Shawn Michaels mimics I love you to him. And then
he's, I'm sorry, I love
right,
you.
Right.
And then super kicks it. Cause I think if Shawn didn't beat Rick, I think the stipulation was that he would be fired.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously in the real world, he was never going to be fired. But like, of course they're going to, you know, just get Rick out of there by retiring with Shawn.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a moment between those two guys. And it was a moment for him and kind of reflecting on his career. And, you know, I mean, that's got to be an emotional thing, man, to know that you're walking out of that ring represents your life, you know, and you're walking out of it for the last time. Of course, he's been involved in his daughters in wrestling and, yep. You know, so on and so forth. But I mean, being a competitor and being in there, that was the last time we saw him. But just, you know, I mentioned earlier about going to these kind of low budget wrestling matches with my father, and Ric Flair was the first like charismatic kind of character that I remember being drawn to with the robes,
yeah.
You know, the glitter and just the robes that he would wear. He came into music by Elvis, and American Trilogy is the name of the song. He used to come in.
Yeah.
He used to come into that song, and my mom was a huge Elvis fan, so I knew it really well. And I mean, you're just like, I mean, it's just like you're watching a train wreck and you can't look away.
Right.
And he was just such a polarizing figure. And when wrestling really, really started on its kind of uptick, mm-hmm. kind of coincided with his rise as well. And Hulk Hogan too, both of those guys. Mm-hmm. So he just meant so much to the sport, in my opinion. And that's when I started watching it as a kid. And,
right.
You know, there's must be something to be said for the fact that I basically watch wrestling. In other words, through all of Ric Flair's career, and then basically stopped when he stopped. Now that could be a coincidence with other life things going on or whatever, but
right.
I wasn't as invested in the sport because he was gone. And he just meant so much to me, man. I've met him personally on a few occasions because he's from Charlotte, which is where I'm from.
Right.
My sister actually went to a pool party with him a couple years ago. Well, not with him, but I mean, he was at the pool party that she was at.
I'm sure he was.
You know, so he's just, I mean, he's just, you know, and that, did you see the documentary on ESPN's 30 for 30?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's fucking amazing, bro. I mean, you talk about getting emotional. Just what he did for the sport, and just, you know, he talks about his son who ended up dying of a drug overdose, and, you know, he tried to keep his son off of that path. And,
yeah.
You know, Ric Flair himself was dependent on drugs and alcohol his whole career. And it's just an emotional story, man. And that documentary was really, really good. I saw that a few months ago. But the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, my number one. All right, Dan, you want to? You got any honorable mentions over there, brother? I got a few here that you probably don't have.
Well.
But which ones do you have over there on your list?
Well, I have The Undertaker, probably the greatest character in wrestling of all time. The Undertaker, you know, for a while was just a character, and then eventually, like, he started putting on such classic matches as with Shawn Michaels, Edge, The Rock, or not The Rock, I'm sorry, Batista, Triple H, CM Punk, and he had that WrestleMania streak, which was so iconic for so many years until, for whatever reason, they decided to feed the streak to Brock Lesnar, who I never understood that, but The Undertaker was just so awesome to watch. You know, his entrance took five fucking years to get through, but The Undertaker was just so entertaining. Mm-hmm. His character was just great.
Mm-hmm. Any others?
Yeah, the only female I have on my list, and it's not because female wrestlers are bad. It's just like female wrestlers kind of flame out very early, at least from my experience. She is one of like the longer lasting ones. It's Trish Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
She's arguably the most decorated women's wrestler of the modern era. She could put on a great match with anybody. She was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the the women from today's era are kind of drawing a lot of comparisons to her. You know, she's like they're all trying to be like the new Trish Stratus, in my opinion. And you're getting that, but they all don't have like the kind of career that Trish has had over time.
Yeah. A few of mine that have not been mentioned today. I was really, really close to putting Kevin Nash at my number five from NWO fame. He was deemed Big Sexy back then, was his nickname. But I didn't, because I really liked him when him and Scott Hall were together. When it was Hall and Nash together as a tag team and as a duo, they just kind of brought the best out in each other. So it was really two dudes. So I didn't want I didn't want to cheat there, but Hall and Nash were two of my favorites in the early 2000s. I've got Dusty Rhodes on here, the American Dream. His feud with Ric Flair, as a matter of fact, which lasted for fucking ever, like a whole decade. They just constantly feuded with each other, but I love that whole feud. I love Dusty Rhodes. Let's see, Chris Jericho I put on here.
Chris Jericho's a good one.
Yeah, Rowdy Roddy Piper, also one big from the 80s. With he had a feud with Hulk Hogan back in the day. Bret the Hitman Hart, and then Andre the Giant is my last honorable. We talked about Sting, but he's on there as well. He was kind of like that crow figure, you know. He was like he was like a weird menacing guy up in the rafters.
He was that one guy that never came to WWE and then came to WWE for like two matches and then that was it for him.
Yeah,
that's really all you needed.
And did he have like an ECW stint for a while? Or
I don't remember.
I think
that.
He ended up in the ECW, which I thought was weird because he kind of skipped WWE because he could have had it. Mm-hmm. I would imagine he would have been a great character for the WWE had he decided to do that. But
yeah, he went somewhere else. He went to a different promotion. One other person I had, and this is probably the most obscure wrestler on my list, but it's Umaga. So basically, Umaga started as like I think he started as Rosie, the superhero in training to the Hurricane. I think I could be wrong, but basically this dude Umaga was the story was that they found him on the island of Samoa. He's like this wild beast that just destroys everybody, and he just was fucking terrifying to watch. Like back in the day, you used to be able to kind of hit women in the WWE. Since we hit a more modern time, that's become less acceptable. But I remember a point where Kurt Angle, the general manager, had him against this girl Maria, and he just, it was uncomfortable to watch. Like it made you really feel for this girl, and he would just do it to guys as well. You know, he was just fucking terrifying, and he died recently, within like the last couple of years. But that dude was fucking terrifying to kind of watch, because he's one of those guys that you would not want to see in an alley at all.
Right, kind of just like a live wire waiting to go off there. Okay, awesome, man. Well, this was a fun discussion. You know, I haven't revisited my wrestling, my love for wrestling, like I said, in over 12, 13 years. So this was a lot of fun to watch some of these clips of some of these dudes and see some of their interviews. And you know, I appreciate you coming up with this topic, Dan. Why don't you tell everybody, I'm doing a recording with your buddy Caleb, actually, in a couple weeks. We're going to do top five rap songs of the 90s. And he wanted to come up for that, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, Caleb.
But tell everybody where they can find you and Caleb, brother.
Well, you can find us on netflixandswill.com. That's the one-stop shop to find all links to our show, such as links to actually listen, social media links, our Patreon link, our Redbubble store, blogs, Netflix news, and at some point in the future, other shows that we're helping out by just hosting their show, which not going to announce anything yet, but we have a lot of kind of like handshake deals going on right now with that.
Okay, well, that's cool, man. You guys are great. I mean, no mystery that I love Netflix and Swill, so I'm always hitting you guys up, and you guys are a lot of fun to have on here as well. So thank you so much to Dan from Netflix and Swill for being here. This has been the Patreon selected, hand-selected by Mr. Dan, our top five pro wrestlers. You can find all of our information in the show notes. Until next time, for Dan, this is Gerald signing off. See you later.
Goodbye.
Truth is more.
you very much.
Thank you. You're a fantastic audience.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.